Now I'm joined in studio by Luke O'Neill, professional biochemist.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Good morning, Pat. Talk to me about life itself. What is life?
The basis for life, Pat. Well, you know, I lecture the first years in Trinity Biology, which is the science of life.
Yeah.
And the very first lecture, Pat, is what is life? And you might think it's easy to define, like maybe movement or response to the environment or eating and producing waste and all those things. But robots do all that. You see, you can make a robot that can move and take in fuel and so on, you know. But the big one's reproduction. At the moment, luckily enough, Pat, robots can't reproduce. But guess what? First paper out about a week ago in Science Advances, they made a robot that can make a copy of itself. Now, it's a primitive robot. It's just made of a few magnetic sticks, okay. But there's no human intervention. It trundles in, finds the parts, and makes a version of itself. So it's the first evidence we have that robots might actually reproduce.
Would you define that as life, though? Because, well, I mean, do you know what I mean? If you pull out the plug...
That's true. Yeah,
well, the charger.
It can plug itself in. Remember, it can trundle over to the socket and plug itself in.
Yeah, but you're the boffin in the control room and you just switch off the mains.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. But reproduction is one of the ways to define life. Secondly, Pat, can it evolve? Now, evolution is part of life. That means when it makes a copy of its life, copies itself, it makes a slight error. And you get variation. They're talking about ultimately, this is a bit theoretical, if a robot made a slight error, the new one will be slightly different and then certain ones would survive. And then, Pat, you've kind of created life in a way. This is one way to think of it.
And of course, a robot might improve on itself. It might say to itself, that particular task is a bit tricky for me. When I reproduce myself, I'm going to make it better.
Yeah, well, this robot they made, Pat, stuck on an extra leg. Get this. Now, they're magnetic strip things. They're pretty primitive. It put an extra leg on, and guess what, Pat? It moved faster. So that robot was able to design a new part of itself,
if you like. Its own inefficiency.
Kind of, yeah, but it was programmed. This is all AI, remember. They're AI enabling robots to do these kinds of things. And the fact they could stick an extra leg on and then run faster than the other robot, maybe that one would start to dominate. So strangely, this looks a little bit like a living system, is what they're saying.
So it looks like a living system. Now, the spare parts.
Yeah.
So the robot goes into the workshop and is looking around for an elbow, a complex joint. Can't find one. So what's he going to do?
Well, you see, von Neumann, Pat, you ever hear of him? He was involved in the Manhattan Project with Oppenheimer. He's a very famous scientist. He speculated that there would be robots that could replicate. Can you imagine one, Pat, that goes and digs up the earth, extracts metal, begins to fashion a piece of itself? Now, this is very science fiction based, but it's not beyond the bound. In this lab in Columbia University, by the way, it's a bit like a toy shop. The robot walks into a room, trundles in, there's loads of parts, little bits of plastic and little bit, and then it begins to assemble, you know? So the parts have to be made by us humans, of course. Mm. But who knows, a robot might go and make its own component parts eventually.
Where does 3D printing come into all of this?
Yeah, well, that's the big thing, Pat. They're talking about, can you print a robot basically using 3D programs?
I was thinking of the robot coming in, going over to the 3D printer and printing that elbow.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, exactly. Push a few buttons and then develop yourself. Now, 3D printing, Pat, we have spoken about this before, I think, a couple of years ago. That's gone through the roof. More and more elaborate, more and more ways of doing it. So ultimately, a robot might replicate itself through a 3D printer that feeds in the component parts and now the printer spits out another robot. So they're developing that as well.
Now, the question of where these self-replicating robots could be useful.
Yeah.
And you have a few examples.
I do have a few examples. Now, this lab, Pat, in Colombia is called the Robot Metabolism Lab. They give that name, right? And they're speculating on where this would be useful. One would be, Pat, in going to the moon. If you send a rocket up there with a robot that could make itself on the moon, right? And it could even extract things from the moon itself and then begin to build itself as one wild idea we have. A second one is tiny little robots in a bag. You stick them somewhere, say in a disaster zone, and it begins to assemble. And then begins to make a copy of itself to deal with some disaster. That's the second thing they're talking about. But that's still a bit theoretical, of course. But these things are all in the future, I guess.
I mean, sometimes we put people in harm's way when they're affecting a rescue. Most recently, we saw the airman in Iran. It cost $2 billion or something to rescue that guy. If you could have sent in robots instead.
Yeah.
Well, no human lives at risk, although it still might have cost $2 billion to do it.
Now, sadly, Pat, yet again, Ukraine is telling us things about war. Ever there's a war, new technologies. A couple of weeks ago, Pat, they've described the first attack by semi-robots, drones effectively, on a Russian position, and it won, right? There were no humans at all. Like a swarm of drones attacked a Russian position and then took it over.
And they don't require GPS
no.
Because they build in the... the geographical points
yeah.
that they need, and then they can act autonomously.
They can, and this is the in Star Wars. Remember, there were these armies, weren't there, robots? But this is the first example. This is a credible example, Pat, of using a robot army of sorts to take a Russian position and win it. You know, and the Russians were scared by this, Pat, I've heard, because it looks like wherever the Ukrainians got this technology, the Russians haven't quite got there yet. You know, so suddenly we're going to see more and more of this sort of approach in these kinds of wars.
So do we have any suspicion where they got it? They didn't get it from Donald Trump, that's for sure.
Well, you know, they might have. So the Americans are all over this, remember. Even though Trump might be cutting funding, as we discussed earlier, this breakthrough is in Columbia University, one of the universities Trump targeted, by the way. You know, so academics are still doing this kind of stuff. And if you're a robotic person, this is the next frontier in robotics. Can you get more and more elaborate robots, and then ones that can replicate will be part of this, you know?
I don't know if you saw the video of the Chinese marathon where the robots were competing against humans on a different track entirely in case,
yeah.
I suppose, if they fell over, they'd get in the way of the humans and the humans wouldn't have a proper time. But
right.
the robot was able to run the course faster
yeah.
than a human.
And there's one that can beat a human at table tennis. That's another milestone that's been achieved, right? That they can move very fast now. You know? And what gets me fun about the 3D printers is they're really fast. The latest one can print 500 millimeters per second. And they can build houses, these things, Pat, by the way, right? This could be the answer to the housing crisis. You can build a house, 3D yeah. print a house now quite quickly. Now, it takes about a day to print a wall. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
So house assembly is going to start happening.
I mean, for people who don't really understand how 3D printing works, there's a fluid of some kind. It could
yep.
be, in this case, concrete, but it can be plastic. It can be any kind of stuff that becomes hard when it settles.
Yeah.
And it can be plastic, as I say, or concrete. And they build up the piece,
yep.
whether it's a part or a wall or a window, whatever it might be, bit by bit, according to a program.
A program, yeah. Yeah, and this breakthrough, Pat, lately is building a big wall in one day. That means you could build a whole house in a few days, really. Secondly, they can print with metal now. That was a challenge to make the metal liquid, as you know, it takes a huge amount of effort. They've now got 3D printers that can use hot metal and print from metal. And the big example, Pat, was Elon Musk himself is printing rockets now. The parts are being printed by 3D made of metal, you know. So we're going and the advances in that 3D technology is also moving very fast as well. So.
Yeah, and presumably machines then doing this stuff are not prone to injury.
No, that's right. They never take days off. They never get sick. What I love, Pat, as well is, you know, in Star Trek, the replicator would make food.
Yeah.
You can now 3D print food. Now, they were doing it kind of primitively by printing steaks and stuff like that from meat, you know? But now chocolate cakes, desserts are all coming out of 3D printers. Now, this threatens the catering business for a start. But you might, like on Star Trek, press a button and order up whatever dessert you want, and lo and behold, it'll be printed in front of your eyes, and now you have a printed dessert as well.
So instead of having the chef come and carve at the table, you have this yep. little robot.
Little robot come along, that's right, which will then make a copy of itself and take over the restaurant, you know.
So in construction, in food, now what about in medicine?
Yeah, to be honest, that's the best one so far, and that's been going on for a few years, but you can print prosthetics that match your bone structure exactly, for example, you know, hearing aids that fit exactly in your ear. They take a scan of your ear yep. and then they can print a hearing aid that goes exactly and it fits very snugly. Dentists, Pat, increasingly are printing prosthetics in dentistry. You know, these are being used as we speak, you see. And these things then fit better and then the patient is, it benefits from this.
Finally, are we to be excited about all of this or terrified?
Well, it's coming as ever. we bring the latest, don't we? You know, but this paper has caused a big stir because this is a credible example of a robot that could make a copy of itself, if you like, and eat kind of, you know, and then make a copy of itself. So it's the first, even though it's very primitive, it's the first step in that direction.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, thank you very much for joining us. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.